the father, and his household. This seven-part series will help you appreciate the various stages of the relationship between God and man and empower you to fully partake of God's divine nature through Christ.
Humans change, civilizations change, knowledge changes, wisdom changes, experience change. God does not change.
Get your copies of The Father and His Household by Pastor Mensah Otterbull, available in seven-part audio series. Contact Altar Bookshop, Christ Temple, now on 233-302-688-000.
And now, today's word.
This last Adam came to do something the first Adam messed up. He came to undo what the first Adam messed up. So God creates the first Adam. The first Adam messes up, gets everybody into trouble. God says, I'm going to fix this, but I have to bring another one just like this one. And he must come and clean up the mess. And if he cleans up the mess, then I'm going to give the first Adam's descendants a chance to be part of the second Adam. So their new life will be in the second Adam and not in the first Adam. So the first Adam messes up. The second Adam comes to clean up the mess. He comes to solve the problem. Now I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, what God said to the serpent, the good old devil. Good old devil. After all that had happened in Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and serpent is used by Satan, and God is speaking to the serpent, but he's not just speaking to the animal, he's speaking also to the spirit that is in the animal, to Satan himself. So Genesis chapter 3 verse 14, 15 says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He, the seed of the woman, shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first statement that indicated how God was going to correct the problem of Adam. Adam has sinned, he has listened to Satan, and God is speaking to the devil and says, today you are smiling, today you've won, Adam has messed up, but a day is gonna come. This woman whom you tempted, somebody is gonna come out of her. It's called the seed of the woman. It's not going to be from Adam. It's not going to be a natural child, but it's going to come from a woman. It's not going to be a natural Adamic child. It's going to be a seed of the woman, but not human, from Adam. And when he comes, he will crush your head. And when in the process of crushing your head, you will hurt his heel. Both of you are going to be hurt. One's hurt is going to cost his life. The others hurt, he will recover from it. Because if somebody bites your heel, it's painful, but you will be okay. But if you crush your head, you will not be okay. You are gone. You are kaput. So what is God saying? God is saying, this seed of the woman, this woman is going to produce somebody. And when that person comes, he's going to smash your head. And all you're going to do is you're going to hurt him a little bit. But he will smash your head. So the seed of the woman is going to be hurt. He's going to have pain. And we later realize what happened. He had crown of thorns. He was whipped. He was nailed to the cross. That was the bruising of his heel. It was not his head. It was his heel. And he recovered from it. But in the process, he's going to crush the head of the serpent, of Satan. It means that Satan's authority will be broken. His power will be broken by the seed of the woman. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, the devil heard this. It's not as if it was done in secret. God told him how he's going to do it. Now, if you are the devil, and the devil is a smart guy, if you are the devil, your assignment in life is going to make sure that that seed of the woman never comes. Is that not so? You're going to make sure that any woman that appears like a woman who will produce that seed will not produce seed, because that seed, if they come, they're going to hurt you. So if you look through the Bible, anytime God had his hand on a woman or a man and the wife that seemed to be, this is going to be the man God will use, the wife gets into trouble. So the moment God picks Abraham, Satan has to make sure Abraham's wife is not going to deliver, because the seed of the woman is going to bruise his head. Abraham passes on to Isaac. He has to make sure Isaac goes through the same process. And if you look at the Messianic line, all the women in the Messianic line had some problem or the other with childbirth. Why? Because the guy hid it. He had it. The seed of the woman is going to bruise my head. So if he thinks you'll be the seed of the woman, he's going to shut your womb. But you know, the devil is not just a liar. He's just not smart enough. He's smart, but not smart enough, because he's dealing with Jehovah, the fountain of wisdom. And when Jehovah says, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head, you don't go locking people's wombs, because Jehovah is smarter than that. And he's going to bring a woman you never had any idea would be that woman. It's not going to come from a prophet or an Abraham or from a palace. It's going to go somewhere you will never look. And he's going to plant that seed. And when he does that, it will be on your blind side. The seed of the woman shall bruise your head, crush your head, stamp on your head, and patch at it. Now, what is the second Adam going to do? He's going to do that, but how is he going to do it? Three ways. He's going to do it in three ways. First, the second man, or the last Adam, he is going to pay for man's sin. He's going to pay for man's sin. God had to hold back final judgment on Adam's sin. Adam was not judged when he sinned. He was not judged permanently. He was expelled. There were some things said about him, but that was not the judgment, because God says, if you do this, you shall die. Now, God did not issue the final judgment, because there are all kinds of death. There is spiritual death, there is physical death, and there is eternal death. Adam died physically and spiritually, but didn't die eternally, because that was going to be the final judgment, and God held up on it. So if this second Adam comes, or this last Adam comes, his job is make sure that he makes an intervention so that the final judgment on man doesn't come as bad off as it should be. So he's going to pay the sins of man. John chapter 1 verse 29-30, John saw Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, not the sins, the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, he's going to take it away. He's going to pull the sin away. So that's the first thing. He's going to pay for man's sin. Secondly, this last Adam is going to free man from Satan's power. He's going to break Satan's power and control over man and the created order. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why was the Son of Man manifested? To destroy the works of the devil. So that is how man is going to be free. That's the second man's job. That's the last Adam's job. Thirdly, he's going to restore man back to the household, bring the outcast back home and reintroduce them to the Father. John chapter 1 verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Today we will look at the first two, paying for the sin, freeing man from Satan's power. Next week we will look at restoring man to God. We're going to look at sonship, restoration of sonship next week. But we'll look at the first two. And I will look at the first one very briefly because of time. I can't look at it fully, but I'm going to do a full session, a full series on that. That's why I'm looking at it briefly, but I'm later going to do a full series on that. And there are different components of this that I have to do full series on, because if I decide to really go into detail, we're going to stay with this for the rest of the year. Paying for the sins of the world. Now, what were the requirements for man's sin to be forgiven? What were the requirements? If you look into the Old Testament, and we did a lot of that last week, we see how God instituted a requirement for people's sin to be forgiven. We see it in the Passover. We see it in the atonement. We see it in the sacrifices. We see it in the order of service of the Old Testament. We see how sin was going to be forgiven. There are two main ways the sin was going to be forgiven. The first in the Old Testament is that there was a requirement for an innocent animal. And that innocent animal will bear the sins of the people. There was always the requirement of an innocent animal. An animal that has not sinned and caused any trouble is sacrificed for the people who have sinned. Doesn't seem fair to the animal, because he hasn't done anything wrong. But that's the implication. God is going to punish the innocent in the place of the guilty. So he showed that right from the Bible, that if man is going to be free from sin, an innocent is going to be punished for the guilty. And we see that right from Genesis. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know what they did? The Bible says they saw they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves to try and cover their nakedness. And yet they stood before God and said, we heard your voice in the garden, and we hid ourselves because we were naked. But they had clothed themselves. So the nakedness they were talking about is not physical nakedness. They had tried to clothe themselves, but they still felt naked before God. And God says, well, that's not how to fix your nakedness problem. The Bible says that God clothed them with animal skin. Animal skin. Now, the Bible doesn't say specifically how the process took place, but I think it's a matter of common sense that if God clothed them with animal skins, it means that some animal had to die. Some animal had to die for his skin to be taken to clothe Adam and Eve. So Adam and Eve had sinned. God is taking them out of the garden. But an animal in the garden who has not sinned is made to pay. He sacrificed, and God takes his skin and covers the man. And he shows us if man is going to be free from sin, an innocent has to die. A guiltless is going to die for the guilty. Somebody who's not made the mistake is going to pay for that which has made the mistake. That was established right from the Garden of Eden. It was established through the Passover. It was established through atonement and through the various sacrifices. So when you read through the Old Testament and the sacrifices, you see always an animal without blemish, you know, young, hasn't done anything wrong, and that is what is sacrificed. An innocent is going to pay the price. That is their shadow. That is their shadow. And the shadow is a shadow of what? Things to come. So when God is making them kill those animals, that's not really what he's talking about. He is indicating something in the future. It's a shadow of things to come. But first, there's the need for an innocent to die for the guilty. Secondly, after that happened, there was the need for a high priest in the Old Testament, someone who can carry the blood of the innocent animal to God's mercy seat. So A sacrifice has been made. The animal has died. But somebody, and normally they die in the outer court. And the high priest has to take the blood of the animal from the outer court through the inner court to the Holy of Holies and touch the mercy seat. Now, if the animal dies, but nobody can take his blood to the mercy seat, then his death is useless. So many times people would ask, could somebody else have died for man? Anybody could have died. Anybody could have died, but would they be guiltless? If you are in Adam's seed, you are guilty like Adam, so really your blood is a guilty blood. So you can't, nobody, Adam, Moses cannot die, Abraham cannot die, nobody can die for mankind because we are all in Adam. So their blood is guilty, so they can't die. They are not innocent, they are guilty, they can't die for the innocent. And even if they die, how are they going to present their own blood? Because they are dead. How is their blood going to be presented? But in the Old Testament, remember, the high priest did not present his own blood. He presented the blood of an animal that has died, because if an animal dies, it can't present its own blood. It's dead. So somebody alive who has authorization takes the blood and goes to God's presence and puts it on the mercy seat, and God says, for now, you are okay. And every year they have to do it, because that sacrifice was not a permanent thing. It was a shadow of things to come.